So I want everyone to take a moment and find a happy place, because this is a pretty depressing topic. I don't know, I don't want to stigmatize suicide, but it's a sad thing that happens. For me, my happy place is the presentation from Dr. Katz and his finding, which is very encouraging. So I'm presenting on development of and reflections on the VA's health system suicide monitoring. And I want to acknowledge this isn't even comprehensive, all the people who have contributed to this work. Mr. Bilgrad, who I never called Robert, but always Mr. Bilgrad at CDC, we had many, many consultations about acquiring the data and working with that. You've heard from many of the people who have been involved. The work has included leadership in central office, suicide prevention work, folks at SMITREC, Serious Mental Illness Treatment Resource and Evaluation Center, and at VISN 2 and VISN 19, their centers focused on suicide. Okay, let me just take a moment. So suicide among veterans has been occurring and has been a concern for generations. Veterans have a special status in society given their sacrifices and their services to the nation. And suicides among veterans are a personal and a public tragedy. And clustering of suicides raise concerns regarding, potential epidemics. So I was struck by this use of the term here, prevalence of an apparent epidemic of suicide impulse, because that's been a hot word as well. One way of looking at public attention to issues of suicide is to look at the prevalence in published books over time. And Google Ngram Viewer has this great capacity where you can put in words and see what proportion of all published books are these. So on the top, I hope you can see it. Let me start with veterans. So in blue, you see veterans and how often that appears in books from 1900 through 2008. Not surprisingly, you'll see an increase around World War II and then coming down a bit. Suicide appears more and more over time with increases particularly from the late 60s onward. The figure down on the bottom is basically the same information for those two words, but the scale is different because I've added a couple of other words. Vietnam in purple, which really spikes in the Vietnam era, and Iraq as well in sort of aqua, I guess, which spikes from 2000 onward. I also included in green PTSD and in yellowish schizophrenia. And when I first did this, I also put in depression, and it really spiked around 1930. And I said to my wife, wow, this is Sigmund Freud and his work. And she looked at me and said, you know, what are you thinking? Like, depression has other meanings. So the Great Depression. Suicide among veterans and active duty military has been a concern in recent years. The Joshua Omvig Veteran Suicide Act of 2007 required VA to develop and implement a comprehensive suicide prevention program. At that time, national VA suicide monitoring efforts were already underway. So, in brief, suicide among veterans is a national concern and a major VA health system priority. Suicide is complex, poorly understood. The VA patient population includes important known suicide risk factors. And prior to 2006, little was known about suicide among veterans, VHA patient population overall, and in the U.S., no health system was systematically tracking suicide among its patients. And a bit of background about the VA for folks here who may not be very familiar with the VA's health system, the Veterans Health Administration. It's the largest integrated health system in the U.S. It's mission-focused, it's capable of really dramatic, quick change, and it's public. So it's a public health system and receives a lot of attention. There are 22 million veterans in the U.S., with a small but increasing percentage being women veterans. Of these, 8.3 million veterans are enrollees in the VA system, with about 6 million receiving VA services in a given year. The VA operates a national health system with over 800 outpatient clinics, over 150 VA hospital sites. I mean, the counting of sites is another topic, but about that. Prior to developing VHA suicide monitoring, the literature on suicide among veterans was focused on combat theater cohorts, and the general finding was that service in a combat theater wasn't associated with elevated risks, except for specific subgroups, those who had sustained service-related injuries or who had been diagnosed with PTSD. Regarding veteran status and suicide generally, there were inconsistent findings. A well-publicized study by Kaplan et al. Documented increased risks among veterans, twice those of non-veterans, whereas another study by Miller did not find an association. And there were few studies, again, among VHA patients, and these were really focused on high-risk patient subpopulations, including looking at patients with depression. That was work, actually, Marcia Ballenstein was the PI for that work. It was done at SMITREC. And other work from NEPIC, another program evaluation center in the mental health services. And let me get oriented in my notes. And then along came central office. So this is one of the first cell phone pictures I took, and that's central office. I've used it in a lot of slides. And as has been covered in this presentation, there are a lot of initiatives. The VA's Comprehensive Mental Health Strategic Plan, the Mental Health Enhancement Initiative, the Uniform Mental Health Services Handbook, suicide prevention efforts that we've covered, and all of this with the active support and attention of the Congress, state and local organizations, the media, DOD, and vets, et cetera. Oh, I don't know why that's doing that. I'll just ignore it, if I can. Okay. Okay, so in 2006, the VA established a suicide monitoring group looking comprehensively at all individuals who received care in the VA. This was led by the Office of Mental Health. At that time, it was Mental Health Services. Now it's kind of got two parts, services and operations, but it's been a combined effort. It's been located, again, at SMITREC in terms of the data work and the analyses, drawing from experience with patient registries and some suicide work using the NDI data. Patients are identified using the National Patient Care Database. These are basically, we're identifying VHA users who've had inpatient or outpatient encounters, and we're linking those individuals to the National Death Index, which is considered the gold standard for mortality assessment, drawing data from the state vital statistics offices. I'm a low talker. I'm totally off. Okay, so we've done annual data searches, and the way that we've done this is to only send in searches for people who've touched the VA and who haven't received subsequent use. So we've assumed that someone who comes back in later years is still alive. That's not always the case. Sometimes there's an encounter for bereavement counseling, and we have identified that, so our numbers, even for a specific year, are subject to some modification. But this has been the most cost-effective approach. And also, we're not relying on non-NDI sources to identify those who have died. So the alternative might be to use Burls or Vital Status, and they're close, but we think that this is the best approach, and certainly it was the most cost-effective. We use established approaches when the search data come back to identify true matches. We define cohorts of users. This was one of the first things that we really grappled with. Who were we reporting rates on? Everyone for whom we had data, and as the years went on, we would have more and more people, and thus if we took that approach, then it would seem as though rates were just jumping up. So we defined current VHA users as having had use in that year, the year for which we're reporting a rate, or in the prior year, with the rationale that these are people who are engaged with the VA for services, whose suicide risks may be affected by recent or current VHA initiatives, and also, again, to have consistent assessments over time. So, for example, to look at a rate in FY01, risk time, so these are people who might be considered for the 01 risk assessment or cohort. Person 1, the red stuff means that they had use in 00, and their risk time began at the start of 01 and ended when the person died. Person 2, likewise, but the person didn't die, so was censored at the end. Person 3 didn't make it into the 01 assessment because although that person had use in 00, didn't survive to contribute risk time in 01. And likewise, and then person 4 didn't have use in 00 but did in 01, and from that point forward is included. Thank you. The data structures, we use limited data sets that don't have real patient identifiers, but we have a separate crosswalk. So this is kind of the nuts and bolts of what we do. We have separate analytic data sets, and then we have other data sets that crunch a lot of measures that we use in various analyses. We have a suicide monitoring work group that I still don't quite know what to call, but it's been the suicide group, and that's kind of the label I gave to it, that includes folks from these offices. We've met weekly for the first bunch of years. It feels like in the past 2 years it's been every other week. We'll review results and disseminate. The dissemination of findings has been through memos to the field, briefings to national leadership, congressional testimony, and journal publications. We've supported memos to the field that have focused on risk factors, including pain, TBI, and risk periods, for example, following CLC, community living center, or nursing homes outside of the VA discharges. We've talked about this previously, but this shows information on rates over time for men and women. And we've looked at standardized mortality ratios over time. The red is for women, and you can see that jumps around a bit more as there are fewer women, so the estimate is a bit more variable. We've done a bunch of publications, and I'll just kind of flip through these. So again, showing increased risks among VHA users, showing specific psychiatric diagnoses that were associated with elevated risk, looking at rural-urban differences in rates, trends over time, comparisons of veterans who receive VA care versus those who are not receiving VA care, and TBI as a risk factor for suicide, and also psychopathology among vets returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. So the lessons from this monitoring, I think it's really important and that we've had really engaged leadership that has moved all this forward, that we've had buy-in from very senior leadership throughout the system to move the findings forward throughout the VA. I mean, the VA has really done so much. We've had a diverse team that has supported this, including biostatisticians, who I didn't include on the initial list. We've had a lot of collaboration within the group. The regular frequent meetings was really critical. I mean, it felt like, especially in the first couple of years, thank you, that it was kind of like a study a week, you know? Okay, this week we looked at this and at that. And sometimes it was kind of an update about a specific line of analysis, but it really kept the tempo going quickly. And that gets to the next point, which is probably the heart of the whole presentation that I have, about the need to be careful, correct, fast, consistent, and clear. So this was really high profile, and so we needed to be really careful. We also needed to be really quick. So it was kind of a very engaged environment. And we needed to set up structures and approaches that we could then use year after year that would be consistent. So that was important. Thank you. So sharing the workload and open communication was important, and then disseminating the findings was very important because you can sort of forget findings, and sort of finalizing it as a report or paper is a nice way to get it out into the world. I should go back. Well, I don't think I have time to prepare for this. So this shows in red the number of publications that included suicide and veterans by year from 1985 through 2011. And you can see from the time that the monitoring began, say, in 2006, the number increased from 30 up to 51. Certainly, we've seen an increase since 85 when it was only 4. The body of publications that don't include veterans but include suicide is really substantial. And back in 85, this stuff with veterans in it as well was 0.6% of the publications. Now it's up to 2%. I will stop. So I think that we've made some nice contributions to practice in the VA, to the evaluation of VHA initiatives, and to maintaining a focus on suicide. Thank you.